Well, the harvest is running, looks like. And there's fields that are white unto harvest in the kingdom of God. There's a year-round harvest going on. Daily there are people who are letting the Lord in. Daily there are people who are worshiping. You are some of them, right? You are among those who are willing to be stirred up, willing to return to your first love, willing to increase that love. Amen? Desiring God more and more and more every day. Trusting Him more and more and more every day. Refusing and rejecting any manner of doubt. Anything that comes that is not according to the personality of God. Willing to search and seek and find and know God's personality. Determined that nothing's going to rob that from you. Wednesday night, Wyatt shared of God's protection. But not just God's protection, but then how that becomes a reflection. My words, not his, but of the glory of God. Of how when we are willing to declare the goodness of God, others are drawn to at least have us declare some protection or favor on them, or and have us able to understand God enough to say that it isn't profound prayers, it's submitted prayers. It's talking to God. It's just a simple relationship. It's just talking to God. It's just knowing God. I shared in the devotion that when I got saved, I felt really blessed. I felt really blessed before I knew how saved I was. Because there was a transformation in my life. Old things had passed away. All things became new. I didn't have to understand how God did it. I just had to understand that God did it. And when I began to question whether it was real or not, and I said, God, maybe I am just making that up. God was kind enough to say, Roger, you're not that smart. I didn't take that as an insult. I mean, He's God. If He says you're not that smart, you couldn't do this on your own. I took great comfort in that. That was a revelation. That was a confirmation. That was a great encouragement. I couldn't make it up myself. I was told, when I had great joy in the Lord, I was told, now, don't expect that to last. You're in a honeymoon stage. This is going to level out. This is, you know, just, you know. They didn't even really tell me to enjoy it while I was in it. They sort of encouraged me that I should prepare for the letdown, really. Prepare for things to become normal again, only now I wouldn't struggle alone. I would struggle with God's help. Well, yeah, that just never took with me. I just never grasped that. Because I was sort of determined to find out what went beyond. Because you see, early on, before I was saved, there was one thing that perplexed me, and that was that No matter how many years I live, it's only this long in eternity. And I was never comfortable with only being, you know, I didn't want to be like a mosquito that has a 24-hour lifespan, or however long they live. You know, I don't get me wrong, I didn't have enough interest in science to know exactly about that, but I knew that if I went out on the sidewalk and I could step on an ant anytime I wanted to and snuff out its life, and I didn't like looking at me as a life. I didn't like the idea of reincarnation, you know, coming back to do it all over again, but I did like the idea of reincarnation better than I liked the idea of nothing more. And so I, from the beginning, I sort of had an understanding that I didn't necessarily understand, if you follow what I'm saying, but I had an understanding that Jesus must have more. But that aside, I was just tickled to know the Lord and to realize that He would still even want me. And fortunately, the Lord never let me stop. I may have stalled on my own sometimes. I may have very well stood there and He was wanting to get in to a circumstance or a situation and I wouldn't open the door. Sometimes I believe because I didn't have much understanding, He opened the door anyway and just came in. And we reasoned together. And I have found it always to be beneficial that if you're reasoning together with God, accept His reason. Accept what He says. And if I can't get it myself, I'm willing to listen to somebody else who does get it. Or at least meditate on it or something. Because it is worth getting. Now, on Wednesday we talked about finishing it. That God's able to complete the good work that He's begun in us. And of our need to finish this race. To whatever it takes to finish this race. Take whatever it takes to finish this portion of the race. This part. And when that light comes on in our heart, how exciting that is. Paul has shared with me of a light just coming on, and it just changes everything, doesn't it, when a light comes on? I used to be able to read a lot better in the dark than I can now. Sometimes I'm reading something at the table and I'll step over to the sunlight. It's amazing how much better the sunlight works than dim lights. And it's amazing how much better the light of the Lord reveals things than the veil that we pull over it sometimes. You know, the veil was rent. The veil of understanding that keeps people not understanding is gone. We come boldly before the throne of grace. We come right into Him for His understanding, for what He will give us. And the enemy fights us with discouragement. The enemy does everything that he can to block us out of getting what God has for us. The promise tries to light up and we see it, we see it, we see it, and the enemy comes and pulls the plug so we can't see it so clearly anymore. But we can't be easily deterred. Paul wrote to the Galatians and he said, I cannot for the life of me figure this out. You started out in the Spirit. Who deceived you? You started out, you have a word from the Lord, and you start out with a word from the Lord, and then all of a sudden, well, maybe it wasn't the Lord. If you have a word from the Lord, don't let anyone take that word from you except the Lord Himself. Now, I've had God tell me things that I knew that were the word of the Lord, and when I went acting on the word of the Lord and I followed every step that He did, every step that He told me, and then it turned out that it didn't go just exactly the way that I thought it was going to go, but it went just exactly the way that the Lord said it was going to go. And then to reason with Him and have Him say, now see, oh, wow, what a wonderful thing, Lord. What an awesome thing. that God will move me and explain to me that I was moving, not necessarily out of perfect understanding, but also moving in a way that He could teach me for future, that I could hold on to, so that down the road when something comes up and the enemy says, see, it doesn't work, I could say, you know, I've been through something like this before. And when the Lord and I reasoned about it, we found out that the Lord had a better reasoning than I did, so I'll just go to the Lord. You see, the key with following the Lord is never stop listening to the Lord. Never stop listening for the Lord's voice. Don't ever start off on something and think that you have the whole path figured out. We still need to talk to Him as we go. We still need to hear what He has to say as we are going. Because if we go beyond the place where He was ready to give us instruction, because we're still going from point A to point B, and He might have a point C to get to point B. And that might be the most wonderful point of the whole thing. Now, don't confuse that with the distractions and the deterring things that the enemy does to try to get us off base and out somewhere, and then when we're out somewhere, to discourage us and tell us how foolish we are. It's one thing for the Lord to tell me I'm not that smart, but I don't want to give the devil the opportunity to say, you're not that smart. I don't want to be easily deceived. And neither do you. And so we get on this path, and we're walking with the Lord, and we're believing God, and when the enemy comes to deceive us, if we will cast him down, we will stay right on that path. Now, to me, if I read the Bible, and as I read the Bible, I believe that it's easy to see that we are blessed and not cursed. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, it talks about the works of the flesh, and it's quite a ugly list. Only though some of those things that are pretty ugly are pretty easy to do without being some wild perversity. Things like adultery, well, no problem. Fornication, we'll stay away from that. Uncleanness, we'll stay away from that. Lewdness, well, sometimes, you know, somebody says something and you agree with them. That's a little lewd and, well, we don't want to do that. Lewdness isn't just something that's atrocious, but, you know, lewdness can just be saying something, you know, unflattering or undermining about somebody. You can be lewd toward them. So, you know, that one's one person wants to be looking out for. Uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry. Well, you know, sometimes things jump up above. We say, Lord, you're above all things, but sometimes things creep up there and sit on the throne. As much as we don't want them to sit on the throne, sometimes they get above the throne, and for some reason we look up to God and we see them instead of seeing Him. Sorcery. Yeah. Yeah, we'll leave sorcery alone. Hatred. We look at hatred as being probably something, you know, real violent. But hatred is a lack of love. And so, you know, to be bitter is to be hateful. Anything like that. Unforgiveness is hatred. Ooh. Contentions. Any contentions ever arise in your house? You know, I've told you about, you know, me and the lawnmower and God telling me don't go there. There's a lot of things that just try to come up and boom, you can be off into them. We had a tree die and I cut the tree down and that's all I was going to do was cut the tree down. That's the only thing I was thinking of. But Vicki had texted me and said, honey, please, 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 please don't trim the fruit bushes. Please don't. They're just perfect just now. Those are those bushes that cut me every time I mow. I hadn't really thought about it. But once she mentioned it, I thought, I didn't get all the way to the thought, and God said, don't go there. Because, you know, my flesh all of a sudden thought, you know, she's gone. She'll come back. She'll get over it. And I won't have holes in my arms and my head from mowing anymore. But I left them. That was preventive maintenance on contentions in our house. Jealousies. Outbursts of wrath. You ever get angry? Let her rip. Yell at somebody. Keep your mouth shut and yell at them anyway. You'll roll the eyes and walk away. Little grumble, grumble, grumble. Don't go there. Not good for you. Selfish ambitions. Well, you know, may as well just keep working on my own. That way I will have them defeated. For me to, just because those things poke me and cut me, that'd be a selfish ambition for me to get rid of them. I could get carried away and just put them on the ground. Before I was saved one time, my bride kept talking about how much she didn't like the wallpaper in the dining room. And I woke up one morning and I probably wasn't sober yet. And I decided maybe she was right. I ripped all the wallpaper right off that wall. So now it didn't have wallpaper on it anymore. I stalled for a long time before we got more wallpaper put on that wall. I sort of liked that paste look. But, you know, a selfish ambition. Dissensions, well, dissensions and contentions, they're sort of cousins. Maybe contention is the advanced form of a dissension, where you resent someone and allow it to grow into being contentious towards someone or something. Vicki and I went through, I just had to chuckle at her. She was just appalled that they were advertising chug contests and drink, and I said, honey, 30 years ago, that would have been the place we went. Drink till you sink was my favorite night at the bar. You know? Pay $5 and crawl home. And you're, you know, I said, they just don't know any better. My goodness, how can you be so appalled at them? But she was just. Then I found out that she thought that it was taking place on Sunday rather than Saturday. And she thought that would be awful. What difference does it make when you don't know God? Every day is the same. You know? When you don't know God, church time is just really an intrusion on your freedoms. How many people do you think go to church going, well, I suppose I better go to church? I'd really rather do something else, but I suppose I better go. Hey, you might have that feeling sometimes, but you recover because you're children of God. You arise and shine, for the light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you, and you declare, Man, oh man, I'm not going to miss an opportunity to bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Anyway, you could read the rest of the list, but it ends up saying that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Practicing. What are we practicing? Are we practicing the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance? Or are we practicing the work of the flesh? Which do we put the most effort into? Do you put as much effort into loving your enemies as in hating your enemy? Do you put as much effort into overcoming your dissensions and your contentions as you do into nurturing them and letting them go deeper? Again, I just work on me. Because here's the deal. I'm mowing, and those trees hit me, and I will spend a long time just trying to get from... doesn't really anymore. I just listen to God when He says, don't go there. But when I look now and I measure the time, I would make a lot of swipes just getting myself under control and not thinking bad thoughts about those stinking trees. That seems minimal, okay? This is a tiny little thing. But it's ugly if it isn't taken care of. Whereas, on the other hand, I take about this long to just dispel it and praise God. Now what I'm going to work on, because I've preached it and I'm going to put that in, is every time, instead of just a little praise, I'm going to be going on and on and on and on and on, praising God and thanking Jesus that I'm not going there. That He kept me out of the pit. Amen. For You have raised me out of the pit. You know, well, that's a pretty small pit. You know how deep that pit could get? Any idea how deep those pits can go? How deep a pit of resentment can go? A pit of unforgiveness can go? It can take you down where you can't see daylight. And you'll think you're holding the light. Because you have the right. Am I wrong? No, I'm not wrong. Because that's what the Bible says. If you contemplate it and you meditate on it, you realize that that's basically, the Lord says, if you don't get out quick, you will go deep. Ah, but the good news is, no matter what, you cry, He hears, He pulls. Out you come. But what are we practicing on? Well, the Bible says that it's because of a lack of knowledge that people perish. It's because of a lack of understanding. Now, we've been talking about God saying that you might know and believe and understand that I am God. The more we know God, the more we believe God, the more we understand that He is God, then He gets up above everything. The more that we have that, the more tools we have to finish the race that is set before us. The more unlikely we are to be deceived, because we fight the good fight of faith. Just because we don't see it, we should not deny it, because God can't lie. So something as simple as a song from God, I love you, I love you, I love you, yes I do, and there's not one thing in this whole world I would not do for you. Now you can receive that as a song from the Lord, that He gave to me to give to you, or you can receive that as me having a song and trying to tell you something and it don't mean a thing to you. And that's entirely your privilege. But here's something that's not your privilege. Your privilege would not be to take offense at me because I get a song from God. What that would be doing is not only nullifying the privilege that you have of just going, hey, you said there's not one thing that you won't do, so you're hearing my prayers, so praise the Lord, I'm just going to shout hallelujah. You will be taking that privilege and you will be turning it into, you don't talk to Him and you ain't going to talk to me and I'll just struggle on my own. As Gloria Copeland says, that is stupid. Why would we do that to ourselves? I mean, have you ever chuckled at the fact that Peter's knocking at the door and they never open the door, just wham back? I thought I heard Peter. Never opened the door. We've been praying all night that Peter would be released from jail. He's knocking at the door. We don't let him in. Finally, somebody says, you know, all that knocking, we probably better go see who it is. Oh, it's Peter. Then there's going to be a ruckus. Whoa, now we see. Shh, 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 shh. Calms him down a little. See, we try, not intentionally, but somehow or another, we manage to complicate the simplicity that is Christ. It is unbelievable to me how people can adamantly fight against the blessing of God. Unable to determine whether they're blessed or cursed. The blessing of the Lord be upon you. So then those who are of faith are blessed with believing Abraham. If you're of the faith, you're blessed. That's what the Bible says. What if as it is in some countries where they have one Bible for 2,000 people, and so they tear the pages out, and each one gets to have a page. And in a family, maybe there's 10 in the family, and so they rip that into 10 pieces. And so, you know, each person's running around with a little square of scriptures, and somebody happens to have the scripture that says, whoa, we're blessed. We're of faith, we're blessed. And somebody else says, let me see that. And they look at their piece of the scripture and it says, they're blessed. And they say, hey, we're blessed. That's what their piece says. And they just happen to just believe it. And they don't look at their circumstances. They don't look at their situation. They simply say, this says I'm blessed. And so I'm blessed. Because I believe God, I am blessed. Why does that bother people? Why does that bother people? That we would focus upon the blessing of the Lord? What is going to affect, obviously the battle there is mostly amongst religion. It's not amongst, people outside of the body of Christ, it's kind of refreshing for them to hear somebody say, well, you know, God bless us. Tell me how does He bless? And then if we have understanding, we just begin to encourage it, God's a blesser. He doesn't just forgive you and leave you on an island. He doesn't just fill you and then leave you in a state of utter confusion. He's everything that He says He is. And He's as wonderful in good times as He is in bad times. Don't just look for Him in bad times. Don't just look for Him when it's so miserable and maybe you throw out a wild help me. But look for Him all the time and see Him everywhere, because He says He leaves evidence of Himself in creation. You can just look around and you can say, whoa, there's God. Oh man, that's God. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's not. Do you think that God is going to take offense at you if you take the position that God blesses His people? Do you think that you are going to stand before God and have Him say, now, what in the world were you thinking telling people that I'm a good God? for goodness sakes. I mean, I've got a whole bunch of people out there trying to convince people that I'm not good. And there you were out there saying I'm good. What kind of, you think God's going to say that to you? Is he going to say, why, you stupid thing, you? Is he going to say to you, don't you know that I only created you to beat you and make you miserable so you'd appreciate heaven? Do you think he's going to say that? Do you think he's going to say, I caused every problem I possibly could so you'd like me when you got here? No. I don't think so. I think that he'll say, well done, my good and faithful servant. You saw that I was good, and that's where you stood. God is good. So stand, therefore, when you've had done everything to stand, put on the truth. God is good. Shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Peace. God is good. Put on a breastplate of righteousness. Righteousness is not your own. Righteousness that is of God in Christ Jesus. Man, put up that shield of faith that'll quench those fiery darts of the enemy that says you've had it good long enough. Suffer. Suffer. I want you to suffer. I do not believe God wants you to suffer anything. You may have a little fatigue once in a while in the good fight of faith, but that's because there's fiery darts of the enemy coming at you. Jesus, your name is power, breath, and living water. What a marvelous mystery. When I say, Jesus! What just happened in the heavens? What was just released for our benefit in the heavens? What good thing will God withhold from you? Are you blessed or cursed? If you're practicing the works of the flesh, you're open to the curse. If you're practicing selfishness, if you're practicing bitterness, if you're practicing contentions and dissensions, if you're practicing, you know, God forbid, fornication, adultery, if you're practicing any of those things, well, that's going to be a little rough on you. But if you're calling upon the Lord, then he's standing at the door and he's knocking and saying, okay, come on, let me in. Let me heal you. Let me bless you. Let me take care of you. Let me show you. Let me lead you. A favorite psalm read everywhere, the 23rd Psalm, Most people, it would seem, put the emphasis on, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Thou art with me, but you're not much help. You got a rod to beat me with, a staff to hook me with. Oh, you make me lie down in green pastures, and you know I don't like grass. You lead me beside still waters, but I'm afraid of water. You prepare a table before me, but there's the enemy! You pour oil on my head. I have to wash my hair again. That's why I got it short. My cup runs over, it makes a mess on the table. Well, you'd think that's what people think. It's like it's a prayer of imposition, God imposing upon us. But that's not what that is. But the ending. The ending. Even if they get through all of that and they're pretty sure that God's no help at all, the end does say, surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. Now, of course, there are those who would say, why didn't you get out ahead of me instead of following along behind me? And finally, after I've run this race, and I'm weary as can be, I will maybe, if I'm lucky, get to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I'm sorry, but that's really not the way we should look at that. We should look at, surely, man, your goodness and your mercy are just all over me. Yeah, at the end, I'll dwell there. But right now, as long as I'm with you, Lord, it's like being there now. Come on in. Come on in. Come on in, Lord. Are you blessed or cursed? It's an easy thing to tell. We can tell. We're pretty discerning people. We can tell if we're feeling blessed or if we're feeling cursed. Well, there is no curse for you who are of the faith of God in Christ Jesus. So if you're feeling it, that means that the enemy is trying to steal your blessing. And you need to tell him to get away. He has no place in you, has no place in your business, has no place anywhere, because your place has no space for anything but Jesus. And that's blessed. And that's where I'll stand. And that's where you should stand. Expect nothing but God's best. Settle for nothing but God's best. Because that's how we make Him look good. Now, understand this, folks. The world doesn't see how good God is. And He chose to use us to make Him look good. So it's kind of a counterproductive thing if the church is trying to make Him look bad and sound bad. He's good. Folks, the Lord is good. He is good. He is good. And He is good all the time. There's no badness in Him. Where would He get badness when He's good? He says, "You are my witnesses, that you may know me." You can know Him. That you might believe me. That you might trust me. That you might, above all things and in all things and at all times, understand I am God. You do that, you will finish strong. And you'll run long. Race that is set before you. What a deal. What a deal. You know, I watch these people. I quit after this, I promise. I watch it. There's a guy, I think it's Usain Bolt. And he's a runner. And I mean, when he's in a race, he wins. He just flat wins. He is a lightning bolt. And I thought what that is like to get in the blocks every time. And the question is not if he'll win, it's by how far he'll win. The question is, Will he run hard all the way through? Or will he be able to just coast? I mean, I've seen that guy in 100 meters let up 15 yards before the finish line. I don't know if he slows up, but he just lets up. He just is at ease and finish, and he wins. He doesn't ever have any doubt of it. And folks, that's the attitude, that's the confidence that we can have in our walk with God. We don't have to have any doubt at all about winning. No matter what. We got to let him in. We got to let him into those circumstances where we're doubting. We got to let him into those places where we're fearing. We got to let him into those places where we're hurting. We got to just let him in and reason with him about it. Because once you reason with him about things, pretty much, if we'll agree with him, pretty smooth. Can he do it? Yep. Will he do it? Yep. Why wouldn't he do it? There's no reason. There's no reason when he says, hey, I gave my son, what good thing could I withhold from him? You are destined to win. Amen? Amen. Heavenly Father, thank you that we are destined to win, that goodness and mercy surround us, that you anoint our heads with oil, not just a little bit, it's not just a drop in a glass, it's overflowing, Lord, that you lead us and you put us in places where the water is still and the grass is green and everything is lush, and you take good care of us. And Lord, if the eyes of our understanding, Lord, open the eyes of our understanding just to believe. We don't have to see to believe, because we are those who live by faith and not by sight. But oh God, that we would just receive you. That we would just receive you into every situation. That we would let your peace that passes understanding. That we would let your wisdom. That we would let your strength permeate our lives. Oh God, the people around us would be so amazed. So drawn, so desirous of you. Oh Lord, that we would make you look good as you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.